Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our Companion, who calls us in the power of the Holy Spirit and makes us the body of Christ. Wherever we are, take a moment to be aware that wherever you're sitting right now, watching this little screen, there are others doing the same thing. We are all one body in Christ. Today we hear this amazing story of Jesus and Lazarus who has died. A story from Ezekiel of a valley full of dry bones. Ezekiel wondering if they can live this life-giving message. We ourselves come with the dry bones of our own hearts to hear the word of God. So we worship together. Thank you for being with us.
God of life, as a deer longs for flowing water, our spirits long for you.
Our hearts are cast down, yet our hope is in you.
We remember when we used to gather with a throng, when our hearts were full of song.
Now we are a valley of dry bones, separated from each other, our hopes dead and still.
In the voice of the risen Christ, who has passed from death to life, call to us. Bring us out into the light of your love.
Revive us, O God. Bring our deadened hearts to life again. We open our hearts to receive your life-giving breath. We worship you with gratitude and hope. Amen.
Tenderly Jesus is calling to you and to me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming for you and for me. Come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised to you and to me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon for you and for me. Come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tender. verily Jesus is calling, calling all sinners, come home. So I'm calling.
That's because my microphone wasn't on. I wonder who all is here. Ben and Owen and Zeke and Maggie and Ollie and Tanner, maybe even Aaron and Jonathan, who knows? Tristan and Charlotte, are you there? Emily, Anna, are you there? I don't know, because I'm all here by myself. That's the hard part about doing children's time this way, because there's always all of us here and we get to talk together, and this time I'm just talking, but I don't get to hear you. And you know, the best thing is not only when we get to talk, but when we get to hear each other. That's sort of what makes friends, because strangers talk to each other, but friends actually listen. You know, a lot of times people say, how are you? And it's not really a question, it's a statement. How are you, period? Because they're not really asking you. They don't expect you to tell them, and you're going to sit there and listen while they talk. But that's really what makes good friends. You know, the cool thing is the way that Jesus could listen to people. They would tell him their stories. He was able to hear who they really were because he really listened. It's hard for me not to be able to listen to you right now, but you can send in your prayers. If you hear a funny little noise, if you hear a little boing, that's my phone ringing in another prayer request. So we do kind of get to listen. But you know one thing I'm really glad about? God doesn't just kind of listen. God really, totally, deeply, always listens. God listens to what's going on in your heart, even if you don't know, even if it's a secret, even from you. God listens to us. And when we listen to God, we become better listeners to each other. When we pray, a lot of times what we're doing is just listening to God. And there isn't much to hear because what we're listening to is God listening to us. But that can be pretty cool. So I think we should say a prayer. Let's pray. God, thank you for being such a good listener. Help us to listen. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for being such a good listener. Help us to listen too. Amen. So maybe we should listen. Should we listen to something wonderful?
Let us pray. Loving, life-giving God, like a deer panting for flowing streams, our hearts are thirsty for your word. Speak to us like Jesus calling to Lazarus. With the voice of love, call us to life. Amen. A reading from the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of God came upon me, and the Holy One brought me out by the Spirit and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. God led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. The Spirit said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O mystery, O God, you know." Then God said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of God. Thus says God Almighty to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am God. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and I prophesied. Suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says God, the Holy One, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as God commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then God said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says God, the Holy One, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Holy One, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within in you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Holy One, have spoken and will act, says God, the Holy One. The word of life. Thanks be to God. The psalm today is Out of the Deepest Depths, Psalm 130, written by Pastor Steve and performed by James and Jenny.
Thank you.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. To set the mind on the isolated self is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the individual self is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's will, indeed it cannot. And those who are absorbed in self cannot get in harmony with God. But you are not an isolated individual, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. If Christ is in you, though your isolated body is dead, being disconnected from God, the Spirit gives you life in the gift of God's presence. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through God's Spirit that dwells in you. Hear the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is a long story, so I'm going to give you a slightly abbreviated version. There was a certain man who was ill. Lazarus lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha, and they sent Jesus a message, "The one whom you love is ill." And when he heard this, Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea." And they said, "Whoa, boss, you were just there and the people were trying to stone you to death, and now you want to go back?" But Jesus said, "Lazarus has died. Let us go there." So Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, said to the others, "Let us go also and die with him." When Jesus arrived, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha heard that he was coming and went out to meet him. And she said, "Lord, if you had been here, this would not have happened. My brother would not have died. But I know that God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." She said, "I know he will rise at the last day in the resurrection of the dead." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, they shall live again. And those who trust in me and live shall not die." Martha went and told Mary that Jesus was there, and Mary came out and fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the people with her weeping, he was deeply moved and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Come and see." And Jesus wept. Still greatly moved and disturbed, he came to the tomb. It was this cave with a stone rolled in front of it. And he said, "Take the stone away." Martha said, "Oh, there will be a stench. He's been in there for 4 days." And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you trust, you would see the glory of God?" So they moved the stone. And Jesus, calling out in a loud voice, said, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. His feet and hands were bound in strips of cloth. His face was covered, wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, "Unbind him. Set him free." The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Psalm 130 says, out of the depths I cry to you. It seems like this is a story that comes out of the depths. Even though there's this wonderful miracle at the very end of the story, the whole story is just full of all these feelings. At least it evokes feelings in me. And they all seem to be these dark, heavy, uncomfortable feelings. Jesus hears that his best friend, his beloved friend Lazarus, is on his deathbed, and Jesus doesn't get up and go rescue him. He just sits there. He stays self-isolated, kind of like we are, stuck in his house. I wonder what might have been going on, but it occurs to me that maybe Jesus knew it's already too late. It's a two-day journey between Bethany and Galilee, where Jesus is, and another 2 days back, and Jesus knows it's too late. I can't do anything now. I can identify with that. I think we're all sort of feeling like we're too late. South Korea and the United States had their first cases of COVID-19 on exactly the same day. South Korea jumped into action, and the United States pretended that it was a hoax and went golfing. And now, 2 months later, we're feeling like it's too late. The virus has already spread among us. We don't even know where it is. We're not prepared. We don't have what we need. It's too late. There's this feeling of dread of something that's inevitable that we can't stop. This awful feeling of powerlessness. Maybe Jesus was feeling some of that. He says to his disciples after 2 days, okay, let's go. And then we discover that the disciples actually were enjoying this self-isolating. And they say, whoa, wait, they're trying to kill us. How about we practice some social distancing from those people who are trying to kill us? But it becomes clear that in order to face death, we have to go into death. There's this complete awareness of mortality. I'm not sure whether Thomas, when he says, let's go die with him, by him means Lazarus or Jesus. But Thomas knows, Thomas who later on we'll call Doubting Thomas. He's not doubting. He understands death. And he knows in order to face death, we have to go into death. This virus has me thinking about death. I've thought about my own death more in the last month than I usually ever do. I've literally thought about making sure my will is up to date and leaving instructions for Beth. I'm not likely to die. But this virus reminds us, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And none of us is invulnerable. None of us will escape death. All of us are at risk to some degree. I think this virus has sort of broken down our kind of national delusion that we're safe. Sort of like 9/11 did. We're aware of our mortality, and it's out of that that this story, I think, arises. Jesus comes, and both Mary and Martha say exactly the same thing. If you'd been there, my brother wouldn't have died. This wouldn't have happened. And in that, I think there is a little bit of a statement of faith about Jesus, this assumption that he had healing power. But I think also there's this sort of this prayer that we all have that basically is, God, if you were paying attention, bad things wouldn't happen. Why do good people die young? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there tragedy? Why is there suffering? Why is there COVID-19? Come on, God, get to work. You're not here. You're not paying attention. As if somehow suffering is a violation of what creation is supposed to be like. It's not supposed to be like this. God, you should make it different. Well, it's true that we are called to alleviate people's suffering and to do all that we can do to prevent it. But in fact, we are not in control. And in fact, suffering happens. It's a part of life. Maybe that's also why Jesus waited for 2 days. He knew, I am not in control. I can't save everybody I want to save. Now we're being reminded of how we are subject to the fragility of human life. And death is a part of life, and we learn to live with it and befriend it. Even the people around Jesus, they said, couldn't it be that this guy who opened the eyes of the blind could save him from dying, save Lazarus? There's this complaint we have. There's this feeling of resistance and resentment for the way life is. The story is rooted in that too. But Jesus is rooted in a slightly different place. Maybe even radically different, because his root is not in how awful suffering is, but how good God is. Jesus is rooted in love. And so in love, he comes to the sisters and he listens to them and he weeps with them. Seeing Mary weeping and seeing the other disciples and the people with Mary weeping, Jesus is moved, and he too weeps. Sometimes we say that we're supposed to imitate Jesus, and we let ourselves off the hook and say, well, yeah, but he was the Son of God, so he could walk on water and do miracles, and I'm not like that. He was different. But here we see this moment in which Jesus is not different. He's just one of us. He's brokenhearted, and he's weeping. This is the moment when Jesus is most human. But I say unto you, this is the moment when Jesus is most divine. Because God weeps with us. God enters into our pain and feels and experiences and endures all that we experience more deeply than we do. It is God's tears with which we weep. It is God's heart that's broken. And Jesus enters into this place of this immensely powerful presence, this loving presence of God that's with us completely and deeply. And in that place, Jesus enters into their pain and he weeps with them. And in that place, he taps into the infinite power of God. Jesus allows his heart to be broken, and it's broken open like a seed that swells with life. A chapter later in the Gospel of John, Jesus will tell us, unless a seed falls into the earth and is buried and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, then it bears much fruit. In that place of love, Jesus taps into this immense divine power that's so powerful. It can call Lazarus out of death. It's more powerful than death. Now, there is a danger here in thinking that what this story means is that if I die from the coronavirus, after 4 days, Jesus will pull me up out of my grave. I don't think that's what that means. That's not how it seems to have worked for the last couple thousand years. Good people die of diseases all the time. But Jesus is thinking of it in a different way. Paul helps us with this in this passage that Peggy just read. Paul talks about what's often translated as putting the mind in the flesh and the mind in the spirit. What Paul means is not that our soul and our body are two separate things. They're one. But that we can think in terms of ourself as this isolated thing, this 165-pound bag of bones and meat and organs. And I think that's myself. And when I think about the virus, when I think, am I going to be okay? What I mean is this self going to survive? But Paul says, that's not who you are. You're not this isolated self that's trapped inside this body. You are spirit. You belong to the whole body of Christ, this whole infinite presence of love. Our flesh and our spirit are both one, but thinking in terms of the spirit broadens our world. Think about a painting. If you get up really close to a painting by Vincent van Gogh, you can see the individual brush strokes. You can see the paint on the canvas. That's the flesh of the painting. But if you back up, you don't see paint. You see a picture. What Paul is saying is if we root ourselves in the paint of our lives, in the survival of our biology, we'll stay isolated and small and doomed. But when we see our lives, not as paint, but a painting, a picture, a story, that is infinite. That's the consciousness rooted in which Jesus can call out to Lazarus and call forth what is dead. Jesus won't necessarily revive your body, but Jesus will revive your spirit. He doesn't necessarily call to life paint that has died, but he calls to life paintings that stay alive forever. I remember walking into a museum and seeing Van Gogh's painting of those two boots. They're plain, poor, ugly, beat up old boots. Nothing extraordinary about them. I walked in and walked up to that painting, and I could feel Vincent talking to me, showing me the boots. I felt this passion for life, this ability to see God in a pair of boots, this presence that connected with me over the centuries, and that presence is still with me. That's the kind of calling to life that Jesus does at Lazarus' tomb. There are parts of you, parts of your spirit that have died, and Jesus calls them to life. We have hopes that have died, like those dry bones that Ezekiel saw, and we wonder, can they live? We have dreams. We have things that have died. There are so many things that we are sorrowful about. The story of Lazarus' tomb is a story about grief. I think that's part of what we're feeling now. This strange weight of grief and mourning for something that hasn't even happened yet. It's still coming at us from the future. But we know it's coming. And we're already grieving, already feeling like something's been lost. Something's been broken. And in sharing that grief, being honest with us about our shared grief, Jesus calls us out of that tomb and says, yes, those griefs, those hopes and dreams and all of those things in us have died. And he names them like he names Lazarus. Come out of the tomb. What are the things in you that have died? Listen for Jesus naming them. Your hopes, your spiritual gifts, the things you could do that you've wrapped up and buried because for some reason you think you can't do them or you shouldn't do them. Things in you that have died, Jesus might be calling back to life with this immense life-giving love. Jesus climbs down into the tomb of our hearts and wraps his arms around us and then rises and hauls us out with him, out into the light of love. During this pandemic, when we ask, am I going to be okay? And we ask that about our loved ones, Jesus invites us to think of a different way of being okay. Not just, is my body going to survive, but is my love going to survive? Will my love be healthy? Will my spirit that is God flowing through me stay alive? And even if that has died, God calls it back to life over and over with each breath. Even after Lazarus comes out of the tomb, he's still wrapped up. He's still bound with his feet and his arms in burial cloth, his face still covered with cloth. I imagine how hard it is to move if he can't move his feet, how hard it is to see. Even after we've been brought to life, Jesus still has to set us free. All of those ways in which we're bound up by the past, our fear of decay, the way we've wrapped our own lives up to try to keep them from decaying. And Jesus sets us free from all of that. Imagine that. That Jesus calls out to the love that has died in you and says, come out. And speaks tenderly to all those parts of us that are bound and not free and says, unbind them. Set them free. Will you pray with me? God of grace, there is so much in us that feels like it has died. Name it and call it back to life. Help us to hear your resurrecting voice. God, for your amazing love, we give you thanks, and we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All the long life's pilgrim journey, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. When my heart is nearly broken, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. In my troubles, walk with me. In my troubles, Lord, walk with me. When my heart is bowed in sorrow, Lord, I want Jesus. Walk with me.
I invite you to share in an ancient prayer practice. In the beginning, God gathered up dust from the earth.
And God breathed life into that dust, and it became a living being, the The word for breath and spirit are the same. So when Ezekiel prophesies to the breath, to the wind, it's the spirit that fills those bones and makes them alive. The breath prayer is an ancient practice that's rooted in that. It's called a breath prayer, partly because it's short enough to say in one breath, partly because it has these two parts that are kind of like breathing in and breathing out, in which we allow God to breathe new life into us. The first part, the breathing in, is very short, a word or a very short phrase that identifies a way in which we open ourselves to God. Maybe the way we see God or what we're asking for from God. And then the second part, the breathing out part, the way we want that gift to change us, to sustain us, the way we want to live, the way we want to breathe God's grace out into the world. We practice this breath prayer over and over again. If you do it in the morning, it becomes this earworm, and then it stays with you all day long. So I invite you to try this breath prayer. Breathing in, pray, life-giving breath. And breathing out, pray, revive me. Or maybe even simply, breath of God, revive me. 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 Keep repeating, breathing in and out. Keep breathing. Keep praying. As we listen, as we pray,
I wonder if maybe one reason Jesus paused before he went down to be with Lazarus is that Jesus knew not only that Lazarus had already died, but that Lazarus was already rising from death. and it takes time. But Jesus had this confidence that God was already at work. In that confidence that God is already present and already shedding grace upon us and working through us like seeds that are not yet visible, we pray with one another and for one another and for all the world.
We pray for those on our prayer calendar this week: Salidos Adornis, Zinon Cabal, Eco McCarthy, Diane Schoenberg, Jackie Scheibel, and our shepherds. May your will be done in their lives. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
God of love, we pray for your church. We ask your blessings on each person watching or listening to this service. Though we are separated, hold us all together in your spirit and fill us with your grace. Give us love and courage to be of service when the world needs us. By your grace, may your will be done in our lives. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
God of mercy, we pray for your grace in these troubled times. Give comfort and strength to those who are sick. Be present in love with those who are dying and their loved ones. Sustain healthcare workers with your spirit and your grace. In hospitals where there is stress and grief, may your spirit grant peace. May your love bless us all. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
May your wisdom guide our leaders that they may cooperate in bringing all our gifts to bear to bring healing. May your mercy lead us. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Gentle God, calm our worried spirits. Lay your healing hands on our hearts. In your loving presence, may we find peace and courage. May your grace guard our hearts. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer. We have prayers that have been sent, and we have prayers that are being shared here.
Lord, I ask you to be with Eric and Linda, Eric's mom, and all their family as they grieve the loss of Eric's sister due to domestic violence. Lord, be with all those who are in unsafe situations. If they're people that we know or in our neighborhoods, help us, Lord, to share love in any way that we can so that more people won't be brutally killed because of this. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer. Maggie has a prayer for her grandma and grandpa. God, may your blessing settle upon them. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Pray for Maria's brother, Merle, who's at a veterans hospital in Iowa, for his well-being. God, we ask your mercy. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Gaius prays, Dear God, in this time of illness, send love and happiness to our friends and family. Help us stay connected and hopeful in this time. Amen. This is my prayer. Andrea Bonner is sad this morning learning that one of her cousins is now in hospice with cancer. God, we pray for your grace. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Michelle Holland says, pray for Jim and Carla's daughter, Kristen, who has health concerns that put her at high risk for COVID-19. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Catherine Nims. Kathy prays that a vaccine will be ready soon and that antibody tests will soon be available so that immunity can be identified. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Maureen has prayers and thanks for all those working tirelessly to care for us and researching for an end to the virus. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
And then we have a live prayer from one of our very own. Ben Gerges is here.
Here's Ben. There's a little time lag, so be patient here. Ben, when you're ready, give us your prayer.
Dear God, I pray that everyone stays healthy, that everyone stays safe, and that everyone is happy, even during these troubled times. Amen.
Amen. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer. As a trusting child turns to her mother, we turn to you and pray as Jesus taught us to pray, asking you always to teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Knowing that God has the power to bring back to life the spirit in us that has died, gives us great confidence and sets us at peace, the peace of Christ that is given to us to share with all the world, beginning with each other. The peace of Christ be with you. Now, if you are alone, I invite you to imagine the peace of Christ flowing out to others in this world. If you're with others, extend the peace to them and witness that we are all sharing the peace of Christ with one another.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you from Donna
and Ed, with the hope of spring and Easter around the corner.
My name is Gregory.
My name is Neil.
Peace be with you, Neil.
Peace be with you, Gregory.
Oh, no!
Good morning. Bob Hammer here. Welcome to St. Matthew's. Wishing you and your family the peace of Christ. Be safe. Be well.
Hi, my name is Anna. Peace be with you.
From Michael and Connie Wilcock and our family, grace and peace to you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace.
The peace of Christ be with you and those you love.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
Go.
Come on. I'm Ben. And I'm Zeke.
And I'm Peter. Boys, what do you want to say to our friends at St. Matthew's?
I wish that they're having a good time.
I hope everybody stays safe.
I hope everybody's still confident.
Thank you. We love you all very much, and we hope to see you again soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. I'm Jim, and this is my husband, Kevin. Especially in these days, we're staying in close touch with our loved ones. And from our family to yours, may God's peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Friends, we are the body of Christ, even if we're not in the same room. All of us are the hands and feet of God in the world. So let's think a minute before we quit about those ways that we're called to be in service in the world. I hear a rumor that next week is Food Sunday. Is that right, Wayne?
Yes. Next week is first Sunday of the month. So first Sunday is Food Sunday. The food pantries are still handing out food. Betsy said last week that I think they served 100 families on Tuesday and 80 more families on Thursday. So they're in dire need of food. The collection boxes that they have at the supermarkets are not getting nearly as much, obviously. And so we'll have the basket in the front of the front entrance of the church. And if you can drop anything off there, that would be wonderful. They're particularly asking if you can get a meal in a can. So that would be like beef stew, hearty soups, canned spaghettis, those kinds of things we've had special requests for. But obviously anything that you could provide would be great. Another thing that I'd like to mention is Easter Sunday is coming up. And the church council has authorized that the Easter offering will be split between Hagar's sister and Justice for Our Neighbors. So please remember those organizations as Easter is coming up. Obviously, you could mail in a check, but we now have a couple other options for you. If you do online banking, you can have your bank send the church a check, and there are no fees involved in that for the church or for yourself. However, we have direct online banking as well. If you go on our webpage, just below the slider images, there's a Donate Now button. You can use a credit card, or you can do a bank transfer. There are fees associated with that, though, just like every credit card transaction. So if you're able to include in your donation the cost of those fees, we put them there on the page as well. If you are able to do that and keep your donations coming into the church, there are still expenses that need to be met, so that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Last week, I did a virtual afternoon tea. This week, I'd like to invite anybody who would like to join me on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday at 8 o'clock to get together for virtual tea. If you go to the church website for live links of what's happening, it's not there yet, but I know somebody who will probably be willing to put it there for me later this afternoon. Thank you.
You will find on that church website links to all kinds of Bible studies, Sunday school classes, evening prayers, lots of opportunities. You should also watch for your newsletter. Last I heard, Emerson Hospital had enough masks, but several other nursing home areas in the area do not. So if you are a quilter or a sewer or somebody who can do this, I invite you to sew masks. There are patterns. That'll all be in the newsletter, too, so watch out for that. And somebody's playing charades back here, and I don't know what this means. Take a picture of yourself. Oh, take a picture of yourself right now worshiping and send it in, and we'll include it in our little bulletin board. One other thing that's real important to me. This week, as we close out the month of March, we also close out the time that Beth Garness Homes has worked among us. And over the last year, for the second time now, Beth has picked up our children and youth ministry and made cool stuff happen. And I can't overstate how much Beth has made the Spirit blossom in this church, not just among the kids, but among the teachers and the adults who care for the kids, and even those of us who aren't parents and aren't Sunday school teachers, to own those kids as our own, to claim them. And I'm really grateful for that. So I wonder if you would gather your hearts in prayer with me. God, we thank you for for the gift of Beth Garness Holmes and her work among us, for her faith and her diligence, for the hours she has put in and the creativity and the love and the faith. We thank you, and we pray that those seeds that she has planted might grow and bear fruit as we move ahead to a new staff person. I pray for blessing for the coming of Josh. We give thanks that now we have healthy, vibrant children's ministries. We give you thanks and ask your blessing for Beth and her work among us. Amen. Beth has a chat at noon, so check your email for a link among all of you parents and Sunday school kind of people, and there can be a little noon Sunday school gathering with Beth.
We are a broken people becoming whole again. We are a broken people becoming whole again. We are a mourning people given hope again. We are a mourning people given hope again. We are dead and buried and raised again. We are dead and buried and being raised again. Sing with me. We're broken people being made, becoming whole. We are a broken people becoming whole again. We are a broken people becoming whole again. We are a broken people becoming whole again. We are a broken people becoming whole again.
Dearly beloved, siblings in Christ, all that has died in you, Christ can bring to life. Listen for his voice calling you out, bringing you into the light of God's love, saying gently, unbind them, let them go. The peace of God be with you. Go in peace and serve God with joy. Amen.
May the grace and peace of Christ be with you, my friend. Go and share the love of God.